This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, Eric Christensen back here again with the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I can't thank you all enough. It's truly humbling, the number of individuals that have taken time out of their day, who care about pharmacology, who are working hard to pass exams and become a pharmacist or a nurse or a physician, you know, nurse practitioner, whatever you're working on, and you need some help with pharmacology. I really enjoy what I do, and I hope you feel that through the podcast. It's definitely been an honor and a privilege to do this podcast and to have so many people actually listening trying to hone their craft and become better ultimately for their patients, as I try to do each and every day. So with that touchy-feely note there, I'm going to cover pseudoephedrine pharmacology, or I guess we'll call it maybe a decongestants, that type of pharmacology. The two big ones are pseudoephedrine and phenylephrine. These drugs also go by the name of, probably the most common brand name I see is Sudafed. Sudafed, if somebody typically just says that, they're going to be referring to pseudoephedrine. If somebody says Sudafed PE, they're likely referring to the phenylephrine. So there's some subtle differences within those drugs. Sudafed or pseudoephedrine became more highly controlled because, remember, it's part of the process of creating methamphetamine. So obviously that became kind of a drug of abuse in that people would steal or buy tons of pseudoephedrine and use it to help as one of the byproducts make methamphetamine from it. Obviously, you need other things as well. But that's why there's a lot more restriction now than there used to be, you know, 10, 15, 20 plus years ago on pseudoephedrine. So these drugs are used primarily for symptom relief and nasal congestion. That's why they're called decongestants. The two most common conditions that I see in clinical practice are usually somebody with an upper respiratory tract infection of some sort, so a head cold, for example, that's just causing, you know, bothersome discomfort, maybe, a slight headache with that congestion. And then, if not an infection, oftentimes people may struggle with allergies and controlling those symptoms. So those are the two probably most common reasons I see these drugs gone to. Now, the mechanism of action, remember that these drugs act on alpha and act on beta receptors, and they act as an agonist. So they stimulate those receptors. So there's quite a few drugs already that we've talked about, if you go back and listen to previous episodes, where we're talking about alpha and beta receptors. So important to understand what happens when these receptors are activated and when they're blocked. So, example here, so we stimulate alpha receptors. That's going to cause vasoconstriction, which can kind of help in the respiratory mucosa type area of the body. That vasoconstriction can help relieve those congestion symptoms. So that's why it's effective in treating those symptoms. Now, on the flip side of that alpha vasoconstriction, we've got to consider side effects. So vasoconstriction is obviously a bad thing if you've already got high blood pressure, borderline high blood pressure, or being, you know, treated with lots of blood pressure medications. So this is a big reason why we may not use Sudafed, or may want to really caution our patients about Sudafed or Sudafedrin. So keep an eye out for patients, multiple blood pressure meds. If you notice that their doses of blood pressure meds have been escalating, it's like, okay, well, maybe they're having trouble with blood pressure. Are they taking Sudafedrin? Insomnia and anxiety. So when we stimulate alpha and beta receptors, it tends to give us more of a revved up type feeling. It kind of amps you up a little bit. Now, Sudafed isn't crazy strong that way, and particularly at the doses that we're using for nasal congestion. However, it certainly is possible that both of these drugs could contribute to insomnia and anxiety, for example. Now, beta receptors, so these drugs do potentially stimulate beta receptors as well. So, beta receptors, beta 1 is on the heart, and when we stimulate that receptor, it can cause tachycardia. That can be a potential problem. In the urinary system, another example here, we've got to be concerned a little bit. In the urinary system, when we stimulate alpha receptors, we can contribute to basically closing up the passageway out of the body where urine flows, and that can cause urinary retention. So in a patient who's taking an alpha blocker, that can directly oppose the action. Sudafed can directly oppose the action of that alpha blocker. So somebody with BPH, you know, you see they're on Proscar or finasteride or Flomax, Tamsulosin. You've got to recognize that pseudoephedrine could worsen that situation. Now, I have seen one other side effect I did want to mention. I have seen this reported, at least in literature and that type of thing. There is potential for these drugs to cause some CNS stimulation and maybe some potential increased risk of the drug being seizure-provoking. So I have never personally seen this in clinical practice, but it is, you know, kind of a warning precaution to keep an eye out. So if you've got a patient that's uncontrolled, has multiple seizures already, you know, that would probably be a good reason to try to avoid Sudafed if you can. So definitely keep that in mind as well if you've got a patient particular troubles with that. Now, I do have a new release that I'm really, really excited about. It's called Naplex Nuggets, The Cliff Notes. And this is a 300-page monster of a book. Essentially, think of the best notes possible throughout pharmacy school and in preparation for passing your board exams. That's really what we sought out to create when we created this resource. It's not a real wordy book where you got to read through paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. It's very to the point, direct, and gives you highly important clinical pearls that you're likely to see in real life, and you're also certainly likely to see some of this stuff show up on board exams. So Naplex Nuggets, The Cliff Notes, you can go check that out on Amazon. If you want to check out everything we've got, meded101.com/store. Tons and tons of content there. Growing list of stuff. Definitely helps support the podcast and our mission in trying to educate healthcare professionals. So for that full list, it's meded101.com/store, STORE. Now let's finish up on drug interactions. And when I think about Sudafed, when I think about phenylephrine and drug interactions, I kind of lump in the side effect profile. So if you've got a patient that's already struggling with hypertension, I think of drugs that could exacerbate hypertension further along with the pseudoephedrine. So MAOIs is a classic example that could potentially jack up that blood pressure and put our patient at risk for heart attack and stroke and things of that nature. Also particularly remember, you know, drug-disease interactions. So if you see someone that's got multiple stroke history, multiple heart attack history, high blood pressure, you know, it's a no-brainer that we really should try to seek alternative drug therapy if we're just using Sudafed to manage symptoms of a head cold, for example. Okay, so really keep an eye on some of the patient background as well as drug interactions. I kind of alluded to another drug interaction earlier when I talk about alpha blockers. So Sudafed, being an alpha agonist, can directly oppose what we're trying to do with an alpha blocker like tamsulosin. So those drugs can kind of combat each other, where Sudafed's the alpha agonist, the stimulant type med, and then we've got something like tamsulosin, which is an alpha blocker, trying to do the opposite, basically open up the passageway there. Other big drug interactions that I think about, so if you've got patients already on stimulants, on other stimulants, maybe an Adderall, maybe a Ritalin, of course, illicit drugs, cocaine, methamphetamine, things like that, those drugs can have very similar effects to pseudoephedrine and really add on top of that. So you really, really got to think about that when we're looking at potentially using Sudafed and comparing it to, contrasting it with what patients are currently on, and making sure we're not having those additive type effects. Another thing to look out for, maybe more so along the lines of prescribing cascade, I have definitely seen this in my geriatric patient population, where a patient gets started on Sudafed for some congestion, and then all of a sudden, 3-5 days later, they get put on another medication to help with their insomnia or their anxiety. Okay, remember, these drugs can amp you up, and we really don't want to add more drugs to treat the side effects of a drug being added there. And one last one, just kind of summing up drug interactions here. I have also seen this in my geriatric population, where you've got anticholinergic medications that can contribute to urinary retention. And then you add on Sudafed, which also can contribute to urinary retention. Okay, so particularly males with BPH, this can be really, really problematic. So important to remember those additive effects when we're talking about drug interactions. And I think I'm going to leave it at that for today. Again, these lists aren't all inclusive. There's tons and tons of drugs, tons and tons of interactions. I just try to give you a little bit of real life slice there that you can learn from and hopefully apply in your clinical practice. So hope you enjoyed the podcast episode today. I've got that free giveaway for subscribers at reallifepharmacology.com, free 31-page PDF. And then also, if you're listening, love the show, thank you so much. And if you'd be so kind, leave a rating and review on iTunes. Greatly appreciated. Or wherever you're listening, greatly appreciated to all those that have already done so. You can track me down on LinkedIn, Facebook. We got MedEd 101 Facebook page. Check that out as well. So signing off for today, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. Thanks for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.